Thank you. I welcome everyone to this weekly session of the Queen Creek Emergency Communications Group. This will be the first week in a series of a presentation and interactive discussion led by Dennis, KF7RYX, regarding when the lights go out. Your net control operator tonight is KI7DPW, and I hope you all have an interesting net this evening, and I'll be standing by and listening. Please log me in, and I hope everyone enjoys it and look forward to tonight and next week as well. M2QOJ, back to net control.
Okay, go ahead. We'll go ahead and continue from there then. So I would appreciate getting all the extra check-ins that were there. All right, so what we'd like to do tonight is, this is not going to be a lecture, by the way. I think lectures are boring, and so I don't want to do that, and so I want to have you exercise your brain just a little bit. So first, let me set the scenario of what we're working under. So this is going to be kind of like a mental exercise for everyone. So here is the scenario. You're sitting here one night or one evening, and you're going about your business as normal, and then all of a sudden the lights flicker a couple of times, and then it goes dark. And then you check your cell phone and find out, well, your cell phone signal is not there either. So now your electricity is off, your cell phone signal is not working for whatever reason, and so I want you to think of this from the perspective of a ham radio operator. So the question is, what do you do? So the lights have gone out, you have no cell signal, and so you're sitting there, and so what we'd like to do is go through the steps that you would take or should take in this type of a scenario. So what I'd like to do now is ask you your thoughts. What do you do as a ham radio operator, not as from a preparedness-minded side of things, but as a ham radio operator, what do you do? So if you've got some thoughts and ideas on this, I definitely do, so I'd like to hear from you, and we'll explore it. So please call with your FCC call sign. Net Control will recognize you, and then we'll let you give your thoughts. So please call.
KI7PPW.
Okay, John, you've been through this one before, so even though you called in, I'm going to hold off on you for just a moment, and we're going to give everybody else a chance to respond. So I'd like to hear from you. Give me your call, and, you know, there's no right or wrong answers in here. Well, I guess there's right answers, but there's really no wrong answers on what you do. So please call, give me your thoughts. You're sitting there, the lights go out, and what do you do? What's the first thing that you do? So please call.
KK7GSS.
KK7GSS, Dave, yes, go ahead.
I would probably go outside, look around the neighborhood, and see if anybody else's lights are working.
Okay, I appreciate that, Dave, and yes, that is a good answer. That's an absolutely good answer, but I'm going to, and you're right, and that's one of the things that you should be doing, but I'm going to tell you what everybody would do in that situation as the very first thing they're going to do, and that is, you're waiting for it, I hope everyone has your pencil and paper ready or pen and paper ready so you can take notes on this one. You're going to do absolutely nothing. It's called the normalcy bias, and we all do it. I do it. Everybody does it. Every time my lights go out, what do? I sit there, and I say in my mind, well, let me just sit here for a moment and see if they will come back on quickly, because someone else will take care of this. Obviously, someone else is going to take care of it. So that is the first thing that we do. Now, if there's anyone out there that disagrees with me on that as the very first thing that you do, you're welcome to call in. But otherwise, let's start exploring some of the things that Dave said about getting up and walking outside. So does anyone disagree with the normalcy bias? Please call.
KK7GSS.
Right. I didn't think you would do it after that setup on it. So anyway, so yeah, that's the first thing that we do is we sit there and we wait and say, well, obviously someone is going to take care of this, so I don't have to do anything. But after we've sat there for a few minutes and we're in the dark and maybe, you know, we have our phone close by and we can now turn on the light on our phone and start looking around. And if we're there alone, then we're talking to ourselves. If we're there with other family members, then we say, well, maybe we should go check to see how big of an event this is. And so, Dave, KK7GSS, you said you would get up and walk outside. So tell me, what is it you're actually looking for when you go outside? So, Dave, I'm going to throw it back over to you. When you say, I go outside and look around, what is it you're actually looking for? Please call back in, Dave.
Yeah, the first thing I'd look for is my neighbors across the street and down the street to see if their lights are on or off. Almost everybody here has 24-hour lights that are on. And then I would look a little further in the distance, maybe over toward the North Mesa, and see if their lights on up there. Maybe look at the sky, see if there's lights reflecting toward Phoenix. Just kind of checking around, looking to see where the lights are on.
Okay, yes, exactly. That's a good, good answer. I appreciate that one. So I think you're right on. You know, I've done this a couple of times on different nets, and people will usually respond, well, I will go get up and check my breaker box. And I don't think anyone really, really does that because if you walk outside, like Dave just said, and you see all your neighbors' houses are dark, then that's probably going to be a pretty good clue that your breaker box is just fine, but there's just no power coming to it. And so Dave indicated, David, I appreciate your response on that. Look up and down the street, see how far it goes, and then look a little further. See if you can see in the horizon, see if lights are on there. And so we're gathering information. So, you know, this is what is referred to as situational awareness. We're trying to figure out, you know, is it just my street? Is it just my side of the street? How far does it go? That sort of thing. Maybe look, you know, if you're looking out and you see the lights are off on the houses, but maybe lights are on the street lights. Those are typically maybe on different circuits a lot of times. So we're looking at that and we're gathering information. What if you're not in an area where you can see, you know, Dave indicated he would look at North Mesa and see if he could see lights on the horizon or whatever. What if you're kind of in a neighborhood and trees are around and what have you, and you're not able to do that? What are some of the things that you could do right now to explore this a little bit more? So I'd like to hear from you. Please call with your FCC call sign and let's discuss it. Please call.
KI7DUH.
KI7DUH. Go ahead, David.
Well, I think we need to back up just a little here. One of the most precious thing, once you realize that there is lights out and it's a little bit extensive, batteries become very important to you. And for the first thing I would do is light some candles so that I'm not using battery powers on my phone or anything else. But I also have a question about the idea of what you can use for radio backup, and that's probably a little bit farther down the line, but I just want to throw it out there because I've got a question. I'm not fully able to go off, you know, back onto strictly batteries. So I was wondering if a car starter is suitable power for a auto radio. I-7.
Well, you're correct on a couple of things. One, that is down the line, and we will get to that. We will discuss that probably in a lot more detail. I'll give you the simple answer. Yeah, if you've got a jumper pack for your car, it'll work. It's 12 volt. It will power up your radio. All right, so like I said, we're going to keep this from the perspective of a ham radio operator. And, David, I appreciate, you know, looking at that, even though you're down the road a little bit, from where we're going to be right now in it, because who knows, the lights could come back on any minute now. We just don't know. So we're in the process of situational awareness. We're gathering information. So, David, if you'd like to just hold that question for a later time, then we're going to, like I say, discuss it. Probably may or may not get to it tonight, but we will see. All right, so what else can we do? So, David, does that answer your question for right now before I move on?
Yes, but I think you need to light the candle. No matter what you're going to do, you're going to need battery power.
And yes, you will. You're going to need power, and those are things that we're going to be discussing as well. So, yes, if you've got candles and you want to light those, that's fine. But anyway, all right, so we've gotten to the point now. You've walked out in your front yard. You've looked up and down the street. You've assessed the situation right there. What else can you do to get more information? So I'd like to hear from you. This is KF7RYX, so please call.
KF6ZEC.
N7DRK.
Okay, we had, I got DRK, and then who was the one? The first one that called in there ends with a C, I believe it was.
Kilo Foxtrot 6, Zulu Echo Charlie.
Zulu Echo Charlie, Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, two things that I would do as a ham operator. First thing is to determine, is it only electrical 110 power that's out, or are more battery powered or other portable radios out, thinking as in terms of a Carrington event. And then the next thing I would do would be get on my ham radio and start trying to scope out the magnitude of the outage. Is it just me, just my city, my block? How far does it go? KF6DEC.
Okay, that is very good. So yes, yeah, we're still trying to scope it out and get more information. Getting on the radio, that's one thing, assessing whether or not other electrical devices work. And for those of you that may or may not know what a Carrington event is, that is when we've had a coronal mass ejection, a big flare that sends out an EMP pulse basically at the Earth. And during the Carrington event, even though it was way back a long time ago, it knocked out telegraph stations, burned wires down, did all sorts of things. And today, if we had a Carrington-type event, it would be much more severe. And we could have, you know, a man-made EMP. So those are possibilities as well. Even though, personally, I think that's much less of a possibility today for other things that can be done. So, yes, I agree with you on that one. That yes, we want to determine, you know, how far it goes, whether everything is still working. You know, if my if I turn on my radio and it turns on, it's like, okay, it wasn't the Carrington event, it wasn't an EMP. All right, let's go up to David, N7DRK.
Hey, Dennis. It's funny. This actually happened to me not that long ago when I lost power to my entire neighborhood, and I busted your normalcy bias by immediately looking at my cell phone and seeing that it had service. So I did something right away, but I'm kind of a freak like that. I walked outside, and I don't know if this has been mentioned, but I looked, and this was early in the morning, to see if there were any streetlights on in the neighborhood, which there were not. My neighborhood's very dark. And as a ham radio operator, one of the things that I would have done had I not had cell phone service, I would have turned on an AM/FM radio and tried to find an emergency broadcast to learn or gather more information about that. So that's what I would have done. Be advised, I may need to check out early. In fact, if you can check me out, I'm going to go to listening status because I have to get up early to go to work. So I'll send it back to you. N7GRK.
Very good, David. I appreciate that. And we'll have you sitting on the sidelines here and listening in for right now. But yes, getting on an AM broadcast or even an FM broadcast radio, if you've got one of those that's battery powered, you know, we have multiple sources for those types of radios now. So maybe let's explore that just a little bit. Actually, I think that maybe gets us down the road a little further than where we normally would be. But yeah, let's pursue that, so David brought up a good one when he said, I'm going to get on the radio and listen in to see what maybe has been, if there's any broadcast there. So where would you go? What stations would you particularly listen to that have been designated as our emergency broadcast stations? So if you think you have the answer to that one, please call. This is KF7RYX. All right, no one with the answer there. I'm going to, now John, I'll let you, I think you probably have that one. So KI7PPW, John, do you have an idea on what AM station we would go to possibly to get information on an emergency? So KI7PPW, would you please respond?
Yeah, certainly. On AM, we would be looking for KTAR, 620 AM. They are the area's designated emergency broadcast station, KI7PPW.
Okay, very good, John. You got it exactly correct. And let's see, John, for a bonus question here on the answer, do you know what FM frequency we would go to listen for emergency information?
Yes, sir, I do. Again, it's KTAR, K-T-A-R, and their FM designation is 92.3, KI7PPW.
Okay, very good. Yeah, 92.3 is correct, so you got the bonus points on that one. All right, so we've gotten to the point now. The lights have gone out. We've walked outside. We've looked up and down the street. We've determined that it wasn't an EMP. Things are still working as far as electrical devices. They turn on without any difficulty that have battery power to them. And also you've determined now, well, let's see how, if there's any news about this, how big maybe this is. So you get on your AM or your FM radio, start listening in to find out what's going on. So let's assume that maybe they're saying, well, we've got a power outage, but we are not sure how far this goes. You know, there's been, you know, just a major power outage around the city, and, you know, it's expected to be back up soon, which is probably the normal answer they would give you. So if you wanted to get additional information from this, or maybe if you don't have a conventional AM, FM radio sitting around the house, what could you go to find an AM or FM radio? Where would you go? Let's check that one out a little bit. So if you've got a thought on that one, please call.
K7THJ.
Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, I would think of my vehicle. Most vehicles still have AM radios, FM radios, so if there's nothing in the house, I would try that. K7THJ.
You're absolutely right. You know, and it's a very simple answer, but, you know, how many of us would think of it to do that? And so, yeah, that's a great answer to, or a great option to go to is go to your vehicle and turn it on and turn on your radio and listen in and see see what you can hear. All right, so we've got that as a source of a radio. A lot of us have handheld radios that will do the exact same thing. I know that the Baofeng, you've got that little orange button on the side. If you give it a quick push, it'll go into the FM broadcast stations, and I think probably having the KTAR FM station 92.3 programmed in would be a good one to have, so that you can go in there and immediately go right to that one and listen in. All right, what is another radio source that we have available to us at broadcast all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365? It's on the air broadcasting. So what is the one of the other sources that we can go to for information on this? So if you think you've got the answer to this one, please call. right. Nobody's answering it. All right. I'll throw the answer out on this one. John, I'm sure you know that one, but NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, on your radios, your handheld radios, your HTs, usually have the weather frequencies in there. So it's like, you know, the 162.55 or something like that. I'm thinking off the top of my head here. Anyway, you've got those weather frequencies that are in there, and in times of emergency, they will start broadcasting, excuse me, emergency information. So that's another one to have in your radio programmed all the time, so you can quickly go to it. And they'll quit, if it's weather-related, I'm sure they'll be broadcasting that, but if it's not weather-related and it is emergency information, that's another resource that you have that would be available to do that. All right, so we've got several things that we can now figure out and go with. And so let's assume that maybe you've exhausted those, but you really haven't gotten as much information as you would like to have on your immediate area. So what's another thing that you could do? And we've already mentioned this device, I guess I'll refer to it as, not to give it away too much, that you would be able to check out a wider area. So anybody got any thoughts on that? Okay, we got a lot of quiet people out here this evening. What about your vehicle? You may have bicycles, you've got cars, you may have scooters, whatever it is that will give you the ability to travel a much wider area to check. You know, maybe you can't get any information. Maybe there's really no information coming in, and so you're trying to utilize any and all resources that you have to find out information on what is going on. And so you can get in your car, drive around a couple of blocks around you, and if you see that everything is out, well, you know this is starting to get a much bigger area. If you drive up to a high location, and if you were to see that, you know, there's nothing but darkness out there, then you start realizing, you know, maybe this is a lot more serious than I thought it was. Okay? So let's assume that, you know, the situation is looking pretty bad. So now you're back home, and what can you start doing at this point in time? What are some of the things that you should be doing as a ham radio operator? So please call. If I don't start getting some responses here, I'm going to start calling names here and getting some people to start jumping in a little bit. So let's try this one more time. So, I mean, because this could happen, and it just very well may happen. So you're back inside. You realize that your neighborhood, maybe even further around, or as far as you can see, the lights are out. So where do you go from here? What do you do? As a ham radio operator, what some things that you start doing right now and putting into place as we move forward? So what are your thoughts on this? This is KF7RYX. Please call.
Okay, GSS.
I got just a part of that. Was that Dave, GSS?
Yeah, KK7GSS.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I might turn on my one of my radios and just start scanning the UHF, VHF channels, ham channels, to see if any of the repeaters are working and see if there's any traffic on the local repeaters.
Okay, very good. I agree with that 100%. So, yes, we want to start getting some additional information, and we know that ham radio is going to get us across the valley. You know, whether we're simplex, if we've got an external antenna especially, we would be able to get out across the valley. And so, yes, I agree with you 100% that we should get on the radio and start listening in for some information. You said start scanning. So, Dave, I'll go back to you. Is there any particular repeater or frequencies that you think you would go to for information? I'll get your thoughts on it, and if not, we'll move it out to the regular group here. So please call back, Dave.
Yeah, I would start with some of the repeaters that we know have backup power. Let's see, 447.650, I believe, is a solar-powered repeater up on Usury. And then we don't know if the Akatia repeater has backup power or not. We think it might. So I would start scanning those repeaters first and whatever else is available.
Okay, well, I'll get you an A for the Usury repeater. Yes, it does, the 447.650. It is solar powered, battery powered. It will work on the grid as well, but for many months now, we've had it operating entirely on solar and battery, and it's been doing excellent. So we have every expectation that it would operate without problems in a grid down situation. So yes, Usury would be one. It's a very active repeater. If the Ocotillo repeater has power, yes, that would be a good one to go to as well. Are there any other repeaters or repeater systems, give you a little hint there, that maybe you could go to get some good official information? If you've got some thoughts on that, please call.
Hello, Charlie 7, Quebec, Papa India, Jim.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
I think my preference would be to start asking for contact on the nearest repeater and working my way out, then going to the NETs or the linked repeaters and trying to find out the parameter of the outage. KC7 QPI, back to NET.
Okay, Jim, those are good thoughts. I appreciate that, and that's a good, solid answer. I cannot disagree with you at all on that one. But what I'm looking for is a particular linked repeater system that we might go to that would have official information. Does anyone know which one I am talking about? And I'll throw it open to anybody in the group, so those that I've restricted, I'll let you answer in as well. So if you've got an idea on this one, please call.
K7THJ.
Thomas, yes, go ahead.
I believe you're talking about Metrolink. If so, I think you can give the details. If not, then I'll be waiting for the correct answer, K7THJ.
Thomas, you're absolutely correct. It is the Metrolink. And I'll throw this one over to John, KI7PPW. John, why is the Metrolink, I know John knows the answers why I'm doing this, I'm not picking on him. John, why is Metrolink an excellent one to go to get official information?
Yeah, certainly. Maricopa County Emergency Communications Group, they have a memorandum with Maricopa County, a memorandum of understanding so that in an emergency situation, the Metrolink system will automatically go into an emergency mode. And that's what they do for thunderstorms and stuff like that. If you're looking for information about things like that, that is probably your best bet, because they do have a memorandum with the county that in an emergency situation, that system will go emergency mode. KI7PPW.
Very good, John. That's exactly it. So for those of you that are not familiar with the Metrolink, if you'll just look it up, we're not going to take the time to go through frequencies and repeater pairs and PL tones and stuff like that, but just look up the Metrolink for here, and you can get all the frequencies, and probably you'll be able to hit one of those repeaters without much difficulty. So yeah, that's where you're going to be finding the officials. The county is going to be able to utilize that, so it will be giving out and transmitting official information. As John said, they go into emergency mode. So that's going to mean that probably we'll listen in on it but not be transmitting on it, because probably they're going to be telling us that this is an emergency situation, and only those with official authorization to utilize that will be allowed to get in on it. But anybody can listen in, so you'd be getting some good information there on that one, on what's going on in Maricopa County, and possibly they would have information that may explain, you know, what it is, the duration that we can expect of what it is, and maybe the scope of how big it is, and, you know, maybe even the cause of it or stuff like that. So, and I'm sure there would be other good information that would be being distributed on there as well. Okay, so let's just assume that, you know, we've gotten some good information there. And so what other resources or sources of information can we go to? And it was alluded to by Jim a little earlier about, you know, contacting your closest repeater and working your way out. Well, let's think about working our way out. What resource do we have that allows us, if you have a general class or higher, to get much further out that we could probably utilize to get information? If you got some thoughts, please call.
K7GSS.
K7GSS, go ahead.
That would be HF radio, and I might start on the 40-meter band.
Okay, absolutely correct. So we would like to go to the HF bands on this, whichever ones are working for us, and that's where a little knowledge of how this works. And every Sunday at 3:30 p.m., we have an NVIS net where they use near vertical incident sky wave. I need to probably get on there one of these times, and where they're doing emergency testing and checking and practicing and whatever on it. And so, yes, that way you're going to be able to use the HF bands and get out, you know, 100 miles, 200, 300, 500 miles across the country and start finding out, is it just my neighborhood? Is it just local? Is it just the county, the state? Is it multi-state? How big is this thing? So you're going to be able to gather a lot of good information by talking to people out there that are experiencing it, that are having, you know, whatever it is that's going on there, they can relay that to you. All right, so that's what we're doing. So from where we are right now, we've been able to determine a lot of information by utilizing these resources. And we haven't even gotten into getting on the radio and doing some of the other things that we're going to be doing. So right now, from where we are, we're going to, our time is just about up here. So hopefully you can join us next week and continue on with this. And so there's a lot more stuff that we need to talk about of what you would do as a ham radio operator. So we've been establishing situational awareness for right now. You're gathering the information so that you can have answers, so that you'll be able to report to people that are going to be the ones that are the incident commanders, the EOC leaders, or whatever. So you're going to be gathering information that will be useful to you, your family, your neighborhood, your community, and be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem. So with that, I'm going to throw it out for just a quick question or two if we have any on what we've talked about this evening. Like I say, we'll pick up from here next week. So if anybody has a question, please call. All right, hearing nothing, I want to thank everyone for being here. I'm going to turn it back over to John. Net Control, KI7PPW, are you available to take Net Control over?
This is KI7PPW, and yes, I can go ahead and take the net. Please close with your call sign.
Thank you, sir. KF7RYX.
Okay, very good. Hey, I want to thank you very, very much, Dennis, for taking the time out to come and share this information with us on this net. It's very necessary information, in my humble opinion, and very useful information in all kinds of situations. So I want to say thank you very much for taking your time. I would like to call and see if we have any late check-ins to the net before we start to shut things down. Is there anyone else who would like to check into the net at this time? Please call now with your FCC call sign and phonetics and your first name, and we will add you to the log. Okay, hearing none, we will go ahead and close the net.